we got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
So that video I just opened with is nothing new. Most of you have likely seen it many times. But for those that haven't, that was General Wesley Clark of the U.S. military. And hopefully that video opened your eyes to the real plan that is in fact underway. But look, whether we're talking about the Greater Israel Project, or competing gas and oil pipelines, or just the U.S. world dominance, the U.S. empire, or more accurately, a combination of all three and more. But either way, what we're seeing take place in Syria today, the real point that I want to take away from that video, is it has been planned for a very long time. And we know this. And hopefully those who regularly watch this show have seen me present that evidence on countless occasions, and also have the fortitude to do their own research and see this for themselves. But this long-sought overthrow of the Syrian government with this idea in mind, let's get into the first story of the day and see how this relates to what we're going to talk about, what's of current events from today. So the first story actually coming from ZeroHedge.com. And as always, doing a great job from that site. This one is discussing what happened yesterday, as I did miss the show from yesterday, and then we'll get into the one that's coming from today. This article entitled, Grave Mistake, Trump Threatens Assad Over Impending Idlib Assault. Now, this is something we've been covering for a very long time. This essentially is, I mean, this story baffles me as this continues to repeat itself. And again, as I said, bearing in mind the history of how this has all come to bear. Now, just about every time that the Syrian proxy war seems to lose attention of the masses seem to stop paying attention and its support for the U.S. actions therein, a mass attention-grabbing event or massacre happens to suddenly yank the world's and the White House's attention and their focus right back onto this war. Or more accurately, the illegal occupation and a return to the intervention and escalation mode, as I've also pointed out numerous times. It's like clockwork, as if all of a sudden these things seem to pop right back into play, the moment that everybody seems to forget about them. It's something that we have to begin to pay attention to here. And curiously, this seems to occur the moment that the Assad and his Syrian army, alongside the Russians, are on the path to overwhelming victory. On Monday evening of Labor Day, President Donald Trump weighed in with what was clearly a veiled threat, warning Syria and its allies via Twitter, which I have to show you right here, which is important to know that this stuff is literally was taking place. It says, President Bashar al-Assad of Syria must not recklessly attack Idlib province. The Russians and Iranians would be making a grave humanitarian mistake to take part in this potential human tragedy. Hundreds of thousands of people could be killed. Don't let this happen. And of course, immediately following, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, tweeted her own statement based on the president's words, while specifically invoking the U.S. charge that Assad plans to use chemical weapons. She writes, all eyes on the actions of Assad, Russia, and Iran in Idlib. Hashtag no chemical weapons. Of course, going back to this claim that they have used them in the past, despite even their own administration's statements saying that they have no evidence to support that claim. But yet they still continue to assert that nonetheless. Now, these latest threats confirm what we previously reported, coming from the statements made by U.S. officials themselves, that the U.S. is seeking to create a quagmire for Russia and Iran in order to pressure both countries to bend to the will of Washington. As the author astutely points out, Trump's latest tweet, for the first time addressing the final showdown over Idlib, specifically singles out, quote, the Russians and the Iranians, excuse me, as making a grave humanitarian mistake should they recklessly attack Idlib province. Thus, the president seems to be precisely calculating that the battle for Idlib can be used as an opportunity for putting increased pressure and global attention on Tehran and Moscow. This, we have to recognize the propaganda herein and stuff that we've shown you from the past, that this is most of the things they're saying are false, based in fabrications. We know that from this show and many other very, very reputable people and journalists covering the story for a long time, Syria has never been about defeating ISIS or rescuing civilians from an evil, maniacal dictator. There are mainstream media interviews with Assad well before the Western manufactured proxy war even began, pointing out that the U.S. then was seeking to remove him. Again, they bank on Americans having no long-term memory in regard to U.S. policy and not being willing to do any due diligence. Please prove them wrong. And I say again, without hesitation, Idlib is not a rebel-held town backed by freedom-seeking Syrians. It's the last standing U.S.-backed al-Qaeda stronghold that is using the locals as leverage, as they often accuse others of doing. And the U.S. will seemingly do anything, including allowing another false flag chemical attack, to maintain the U.S.-controlled extremist presence. As Brett McGurk, I pointed out before, the White House-appointed anti-ISIS envoy for the State Department, said himself on more than one occasion.
In Idlib province, Idlib province is the largest al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11, tied directly to Ayman al-Zawahiri. This is a huge problem.
Very clear. Very clear. This coming from the State Department themselves. We have to recognize that they want you to focus on the propaganda they're pushing forward at the moment and fail to actually do your own research. Again, please prove them wrong. And in a related story also coming from the ZeroHedge.com, this one entitled, coming from today, U.S. will respond swiftly if Assad uses chemical weapons, according to the White House. Now, this is a new updated story based on things they just put out with a brand new statement. And this one, of course, has very specific discussion points involved. Now, the White House issued this statement today, warning against any assault by Syria, Iran, or Russia in Idlib. Any assault, which we've pointed out that Heather Nauert has also done the very same thing, after Russia is reported to have begun a bombing campaign over Idlib province earlier in the day. So clearly this is what triggered it. And by some sources' accounts, over 50 airstrikes thus far on extremist-held areas. Now, the actual statement that was tweeted out by numerous places, this will be in the show notes for you to read the entire thing for yourself, but the bottom line is it stresses that any assault is warned against, and of course, any more, they always say, chemical attacks will be met with severe force. And of course, Trump's hyperbolic statements always surrounding this, like you've never seen before or something, some other such accusation. So ultimately, in the midst of all of this, which I found very, very interesting, after all this continued hype based on fabricated stories, which we've shown in these past shows, another bombshell story apparently contained within Bob Woodward's new book was also revealed. According to Bob Woodward's account, Trump wanted to assassinate Syrian President Assad and effectively take out the entire Syrian government in April of 2017, immediately following claims of a chemical attack on civilians that were made. He says, quote, let's fucking kill them. Let's go in. Let's kill the fucking lot of them, according to Donald Trump in these reports. And he had ranted this to his top advisors. Now understand, this is coming from a mainstream source ultimately, which means it could be completely fabricated based on everything we know. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because of it, the relevance to what's going on there today and how we know point blank, this is literally what they've discussed in the past. So to me, this has a lot of relevance, but as always, take it with a huge grain of salt, especially coming from mainstream media, and come to your own conclusions about it. Now, the Kremlin has responded to Trump's tweets, the Monday tweets, according to Reuters. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said, quote, just to speak out with some warnings, without taking into account the very dangerous negative potential for the whole situation in Syria, is probably not a full comprehensive approach. A very well calm statement in regard to what was a pretty aggressive attack on them The Kremlin added that the area was, quote, a nest of terrorists, and it was clearly a dismissal of Trump's warning of hundreds of thousands of people could be killed. And, you know, don't let that happen. Which is, you know, you could almost within his statement hear a nest of U.S.-backed terrorists. But clearly, for, you know, political sake, that wasn't included. But the reality is they're bombing terrorists on the ground, which we just showed you someone from the State Department also agrees. And yet they're coming out saying you're killing civilians, which is always this back and forth nonsensical approach to push forward their propaganda with no evidence whatsoever to support their side because it's classified or national security. Even if that may be the case, we have evidence on one side, nothing from the government on this side. We have to understand what's going on here, especially in regard to all of the history we've demonstrated. And of course, going back to the beginning of the very plan they've talked about and interviews from before about Assad and Syria being the focus. But yet now they want you to assume that, of course, they're just trying to defend the civilians there in a completely Al-Qaeda extremist populated town. Hopefully I'm getting through to some people out there. Moving on to the next story, coming from RTNews.com, an interesting one in regard to Israel. This one entitled, Israeli Forces Shoot Norwegian Peace Activist Twice in 1 Week. This is likely not shocking to most of you who watch this channel on the regular, as this is something that seems to be a daily, if not multiple times a day occurrence in occupied Palestine. And this, in this case, this is a foreign activist from Norwegian activist, ultimately trying to, you know, spread the word about what's going on for Palestinians in occupied Palestine. And of course, she gets shot twice while trying to do so. And guess what? No one's talking about it, except the fact that this time her own government has spoken out demanding answers. But let's see what actually happens, because Israel doesn't usually do anything because they don't have to in regard to these kind of accusations based on the truth. Obviously, Norwegian Palestinian solidarity activist, her name is Kristen Foss, was shot twice in a week by Israeli soldiers. The first time she was shot while standing with her hands raised, and the second occurred while she was leaning against a wall well behind the demonstrations when she was shot in the ankle. In one incident, Foss and the other activists were filming from the distance. A soldier tells Foss, it's dangerous. And she responds, it's dangerous that you're pointing a gun at us, as a shot is fired. Seconds later, another shot is heard, and this is when Foss was hit in the abdomen. The Norwegian Ministry of Foreign Affairs last week has said it's asked the Israeli authorities to explain the circumstances. But again, I doubt anything will happen. No response will likely even be made. Foss, who is an international solidarity movement volunteer, returned to the village the next Friday to support demonstrators. The weekly protests are to demonstrate against the closure of a road, which has been closed to Palestinians for 7 years, forcing them to travel more than 9 miles, or about 14 kilometers, to reach the regional capital of Nablus, if I believe I'm saying that correctly. In a video filmed before she was shot, she said that although the demonstrations had not even started, the IDF had already, quote, invaded the town. Sounds like a democracy to me, a very free state for these people. When she was in the ambulance with another man who had been shot in the shoulder, they had to turn back around for another person they just found out was shot in the head. On and on and on. And no one seems to be doing anything about it because they're a staunch U.S. ally backed by their military power. Time to begin speaking out about these things and really calling attention to the real criminals of the world. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com. I found this one to be humorous in a way and very interesting. This one entitled, Senior Diplomat Exposes U.S. Meddling in Russian Election. Very interesting. Well, it seems the tables have turned as Russian citizens prepare to head to the polls on Sunday to vote in regional elections. A senior Russian diplomat has revealed that Moscow has uncovered a U.S. interference effort involving none other than Google, YouTube, and their parent company, Alphabet, and activists opposed to the government of Russian Vladimir Putin, of course, which is how they usually do this with their infiltration measures and getting the resistance to rise against them and use them for their own purposes. Now, specifically, Russian diplomat Andrei Nesternenko was referring to a violation of Russian election laws by Google parent Alphabet Inc., I believe, which hosted advertisements for an illegal campaign rally organized by Russian opposition leader Alinsky Navalny. Navalny's public movement is using paid ads on Google services like YouTube. Sound very familiar, doesn't it? Something like Facebook that we've heard repeated over and over and over. However, holding an event dedicated to an election campaign on the same day as the vote goes against Russian law. The Russian Central Election Commission, a media watchdog, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce their name, and the Russian Anti-Monopoly Service have reportedly informed Google about these illegal activities being carried out on its platform. Interesting. I wonder if Google and YouTube or an Alphabet are even going to do anything about it or respond, showing you yet again their very clear bias and very clear stance when it comes to politics in the world and the United States. And for that matter, discussing the same topic, it's important to point out this graph showing you electoral interference by the U.S. between 1946 and 2000, shaving off the last 18 years, which we could show another, I mean, any number, I don't even want to guess. You know, I would probably say hundreds of different elections and countries that have been meddled in, but I don't want to overshoot. The reality of looking into this and understanding what we're seeing here, all these different countries from 1946 to 2000 alone, that the United States has meddled, and this is just electoral interference. We're not talking about creating protests, aggressive coups and regime changes. All of this taking place while they continue to point the finger at Russia for apparently, as they claim, paying for a couple of Facebook ads. As if that's the end of the world, biggest Russian meddling scandal of the century. Some perspective is needed here, as is always the case. Now, the revelations are just the latest example of U.S. hypocrisy, in this case with Russia, when it comes to election interference, following reports that the FBI tried to recruit Russian oligarchs as informants, which we also recently reported on. Interesting how this stuff, it all comes back to perspective, as I continue to point out. The reality here is not what's being presented to us by our Western media, which is usually the case, that they don't give you the truth. Moving on to the next story. This is an interesting one entitled Spain Cancels 9.2 million euro deal to sell Saudi 400 precision bombs. This coming from PressTV.com. Now, I found this to be very, very interesting. This amounts to about $10.6 million, 9.2 million euros. And really, this comes back to showing us that things are changing, even amongst Western allies. People are beginning to feel the pressure, even if they don't care about why they're changing. They're feeling the pressure from people like you, pointing the reality out of the horrendous U.S. foreign policy, the murdering, the genocide of Yemeni children and adults, for that matter, as well as Israel and Palestine. These things are beginning to grow. Attention, that is. So continue to do so, because it's important that we get this out. So good for Spain for taking this step. But it's also important to recognize that they very clearly knew, most likely, what was going on there a long time ago. So it's important to point that out. But the taking a step now is still commendable. The U.S.-backed Saudi coalition's recent slaughter of Yemeni children has prompted the Spanish Defense Ministry to cancel a 9.2 million euro deal to sell Saudi 400 precision bombs. The Spanish Ministry of Defense announced on Monday that it will return the 9.2 million euros already paid by Saudi Arabia to buy 400 Spanish-made precision bombs amid fears that they could be used to target the innocent people of Yemen. What an excellent thing to say. And that's a big deal. This isn't like a deal that was already done and they're literally saying, no, take your money back because we think you're going to kill children. That's a big deal. And more than anything, more than giving Spain praise for this action, it's important to recognize that this shows us that things are changing. Doesn't mean they can't get worse still, but the point is that our efforts in bringing this to light and all of the independent media and all of you in the chat and everybody watching the show are making a difference. And that is such a profound thing to take away, to understand that we are breaking through. And that only means they're going to try harder to stop us. But the reality is that people are beginning to pay attention to many of the stories that they did not want to address. So the big congratulations goes to all of you. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com, another important one discussing U.S. foreign policy and really just coming back to the lies of politicians, in particular Trump, in regard to non-interventionist policy. This one entitled, United States to drastically expand military assistance to Ukraine. Yet another country. This isn't necessarily new news. The drastic increase is, but the reality for me here, there's one important point that I want to take away from this. But this story is important, because it really does show you the larger policy, regardless of what any politician wants to tell you while they're potentially being elected. Now, Kurt Volkner, U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine Negotiations, said in an interview with The Guardian, published on September 1st, that, quote, Washington is ready to expand arms supplies to Ukraine in order to build up the country's naval and air defenses, their defense forces, in the face of continuing Russian support for Eastern separatists, the ever-present and ever-elusive Russian threat used to justify just about everything. According to him, the Trump administration was absolutely prepared to go further in supplying lethal weaponry to Ukrainian forces. That more than the anti-tank missiles it delivered in April. They said, quote, they need lethal assistance. Now, it's important to recognize that this is, in fact, happening, that Obama himself, back you know, before Donald Trump, was dragging his feet on this and trying not to, even though they did to some degree. But now we're seeing an escalation by far from Donald Trump. The National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2019 allocated $250 million in military assistance to Ukraine, including lethal arms. And this is, we have to understand how this is developing, even based back on the entire premise of this. First of all, knowing in that picture that we just showed you, that I could actually show you again, guess who's in that picture? Guess who's standing back there tucked in with all of these recognized neo-Nazis controlling Ukraine? That's Senator John McCain. Very interesting, as well as Graham. But the point is here that McCain, being pointed out for this in the past, this entire organization there that's running the Ukraine is ultimately a neo-Nazi regime that's been put in place by the United States government, yet another coup that we pointed out many, many times. Now, it's also important to recognize here that NATO has granted Ukraine the status of what they call an aspirant country. They're aspiring to become part of NATO. It's a step that is openly provocative toward Russia, which is probably the entire point. Now, as the author finishes, nobody seems to want a war raging in Ukraine. But that's what the U.S. weapon supplies would promote, which is the point, again, egging the Ukrainian government on to seek a military solution. And what if it loses? Washington would be to blame for such a scenario. By the way, is it a coincidence that Mr. Volkner's interview appeared just as Alexander Zakharchenko, the leader of the Donetsk self-proclaimed republic, was assassinated, if I'm pronouncing that correctly? We've talked about this story in the past. That's a very good question by the author. Probably not a coincidence, but it's interesting to always point this out. Now, for me, the real takeaway that this is a perfect example of how Trump is doing the very opposite of what he promised before being elected. And there's no excuse to be made here. No, he must finish what others had started or any such other nonsense about why more aggression is needed to de-escalate. This is a new field of developing hostility and war that is unnecessary and serves no purpose for the American people. Only the interests of the U.S. oligarchy. Trump is entirely behind this intensification. Whether good or bad in your eyes, this is interventionist. This is not America first. This is yet another glaring example of political lies being desperately clung to by the Trump supporters, just as we saw during the Obama administration with his supporters, as they all carry out the very same war-focused plan this country has always maintained. For the final story of the day, an excellent, excellent video just put out by James Corbett entitled The Secret Lie That Started the Afghan War. Now, as always, with everything we discuss, I highly recommend you read all these for yourself. And in particular, I recommend you watch this video for yourself, as there's a lot in this video to discuss. And there's really many important things that it goes over. But what stood out to me was that Al-Qaeda, and remember, this is a group that was verifiably created, funded, and supported by the U.S. to use against the Soviet Union. Hillary Clinton herself admitted that. That Al-Qaeda was used as the culprit for 9/11. And this made Afghanistan the focus. And under Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty, the U.S. called NATO into the fight as well. This attack, as I see it, was used to turn NATO into what it was likely designed to become: the international military force to carry out the U.S.-Israeli agenda. Now, the evidence used to prove Al-Qaeda was behind the attack was, of course, classified and kept from public view, if it existed at all, which it turns out that it did not. This video demonstrates that a report sent out to every American ally by the U.S. essentially was telling everyone what to say before they addressed this, and exactly how to say it, which is now coming to light, and you can see in this video. And it was used as the justification for the entire Afghan war. And there's no facts to back it up, which is because, I mean, this is, which ultimately, we have to understand, the Afghan war became the war on terror. And it's all based on nothing but U.S. talking points with nothing to back it up. Now, also important to point out and made abundantly more clear, as I see it, with today's exposure of the true nature of the U.S. intelligence community and their history of and really general propensity for lying as a matter of policy to achieve their greater and often secret political goals, is that the entire basis for which Osama bin Laden was being used as the culprit and the justification for invading Afghanistan rested on the information provided by this intelligence community, or rather the force narrative they sent out. Also noteworthy is that Osama bin Laden himself was in fact an intelligence community asset, dating all the way back to Al-Qaeda's creation. Former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski himself, well before 9/11 and the Afghan War, pinpointed Afghanistan and its neighbors, an area he called the Eurasian Balkans, as the most geopolitically significant region to control for its gas and oil reserves and mineral deposits, as we pointed out in the past. He argued that some form of extended American military intervention in the region would be necessary, warning that a global consensus on its foreign policy imperatives would be impossible, except in the circumstance of a truly massive and widely perceived direct external threat. Q9/11, or as the Project for a New American Century called it, a new Pearl Harbor. And this was in the 90s before it ever took place. As James Corbett put it at the end, the invasion of Afghanistan was not about Al-Qaeda. It was not the response of the U.S. government to the evidence connected the Taliban to Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda to 9/11 that was missing from Ambassador Taylor's report. It was a geopolitical gambit in search of a justification. And the events of 9/11 were the justification that the U.S. used to sell NATO and the world on the war in Afghanistan. Worse, 9/11 was the excuse for the entire war of terror itself, the complete transformation of the Middle East that is taking place thanks to American military might. The Taylor Report was a blank check drawn on the events of that day, and a check that is still being cashed. Now, with all this, with this topic specifically and all the topics of today, let's bring this all back to bear on Syria and what he's talking about here. The reality of what's happened in Afghanistan and all the ways they set it up and lied and forced the narrative on the American people. Let's bring this to bear on Syria and what's going on today. Why would we trust any of these career liars about what they claim is happening in Syria, even while their own information completely contradicts things they're currently saying? As I pointed out more times than I can count, even in regard to the chemical weapons accusations, Mattis has said that we have no evidence to support those claims. And yet they continue to force that down our throats and use it as the basis for saying that they're carrying out another attack on civilians with no evidence to support it. It's very important that we don't get drugged down in yet another plan that we just saw laid out from General Wesley Clark, the long-term agenda, the long-sought regime change effort in Syria that this is all leading towards. Whether we're talking about Afghanistan or Libya or any of these countries, they're built on lies, which we've shown any number of times in this past show. So in particular, as Syria continues to increase, as clearly they're not backing down, despite the evidence presented to the UN by Syria, despite the evidence presented to the US themselves by the Russians that they dismissed out of hand without even looking at. Despite all of this and all of the past fabrications and proven lies, they're still forcing this down our throats. Don't let yourself be susceptible to this. Don't fall victim to their lies yet again. Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to continue this conversation with many other topics, stay tuned on this very channel for the TLAV Research and Review starting in just a few moments. And as always, check out the resources in the show notes below and all of the independent sources and question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.